is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
My final hour, Felger and Mass here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, the TV side that goes across New England and the country. Catch us anywhere, anytime, on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download that to your smartphone. It's a great product. The live stream pops right up. You don't even have to touch a button. And then it has all the replays as well, all the podcasts and the replays. So you can always catch us. If you miss anything, just pop it up that night. The whole show is put up that night. So you can always catch up if you miss anything. Back to the phones here, as promised. Ray and Revere on Hanley Ramirez. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, guys. First of all, relative to why Hanley's not getting interest, under the new CBA, a whole bunch of teams are tanking. And there's maybe only 14 teams vying for the 10 playoff spots right now.
So you said 14?
There's only about 14 teams.
Okay, so hold on, Ray. 14 teams for a guy who's free, who's hit 380 in the postseason. You don't think there should be some interest?
I'll give you a hypothesis, Michael. I think that's a factor. But I really don't have a problem with them getting rid of him, because at this stage of his career, sub-750 OPS, negative defensive player, is not an impact player for your roster trying to win a division. And if they needed to showcase Beeks and Swihart and whatever stiffs they have, they needed to do it. And I think they have to add to this roster if they're going to play for this division, because the Yankees have the assets to do it. And for me, guys, it all comes back to this owner, because he's into this team for $230 million. He gave $63 million to that Cuban guy they traded for sale. He's into this team for $300 million this year, and I don't think he wants to spend that much more if he doesn't have to.
He definitely doesn't want to spend more. The luxury tax feels like a real consideration. But just on Hanley, I'm glad they released him. I'm still in the camp of they made the right move with Hanley. And I'm telling you, because I think there's something off-field there that was compelling to them.
From a baseball standpoint, it was a mistake.
We'll see. If he's such a mess off the field that he can't perform on the field, then I'm sorry. There's a line there.
Okay, but again, that's right. From a baseball standpoint, it was a mistake. Like, I'm leaving the off-field part of it out, and I know you can't.
See, I mean, is being a loafer and a dog a baseball thing or a non-baseball thing?
That's a baseball thing.
Okay, so then I think there was baseball reasons, too. Because I think he's a loafer and a dog, and just he's
baseball Rondo.
He is. He's just
he's best when the lights are bright, or if it's the postseason, or they're going up against the Yankees. Again, his numbers against the Yankees this year ridiculous: 354, 3 home runs, 9 RBI.
He's just a character risk. So I'm glad the Red Sox moved on from him. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to tell you is, I think they're justified in doing so by the fact that no one else has picked him up, because whatever's going on with Hanley is so bad that no one wants to touch him. And don't tell me there aren't places for him to go. Houston ranks where in OPS among DHs in the American League?
They've moved up now, but they're still in the bottom half. I want to say like they're ninth or something like that.
Seattle's a playoff team in the West. Where do they rank in OPS at the DH position?
They have also moved up of late, but they've been bad for a majority of the year.
Two teams that have money in decent markets who are in the playoffs who have no DH. Perfect fit. They don't care about his defense. And they can withstand if he's just a little bit of a, you know, eccentric. He hits in the postseason, and they have a need, and he's free. Don't tell me there's not something there with Hanley that's precluding teams from picking him up. But, Maz, you have an issue with someone on the Red Sox beyond any of this.
Yeah, so look, I think you start looking at it now, and you have to wonder about the hitting coach. You got to start wondering about the approach of some of these guys at the plate, because it feels like the only consistent offensive players they have at the moment are the best players. It's J.D. Martinez and it's Mookie Betts. And then again, Benintendi's been good of late, too, so include him. Fine. Benintendi's on the list. Has anyone else really performed beyond what the expectation is?
Give me your numbers.
Okay, so...
Well, but that's a good question. Outside of J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and recently Andrew Benintendi, who's outperformed in your mind?
So people would say, well, Mitch Moreland's had a good year. Okay, fine. His last 25 games, he's hitting .253. I mean, is he really having a good year? Is he now sort of becoming again what Mitch Moreland is? And he's a veteran guy, so I think at the end of the day, we know what Mitch Moreland is. Then Xander Bogaerts started out like gangbusters, got hurt since May 1st. And by the way, we had a caller say, well, the injury set him back. His first three games back after the injury, 7-for-13. Okay, he was all over it again, smashing the ball everywhere. Since that time, however, 229 in his last 37 games. Nunez has been bad all year. Leon is now up to 241, and we're somehow celebrating that like it's a grand achievement. Rafael Devers, to me, is the worst one on the list. 231, he's been bad all the way around all year long. Christian Vasquez just now crept over 200. Again, like that's some sort of major accomplishment. He hit almost 300 last year. Now he can barely scrape over 200. And Jackie Bradley down to a buck 89 again. And his last seven games, 3-for-23 with 9 strikeouts. So this whole launch angle thing that they were going to do at the beginning of the year, I don't see it paying off. They feel like the same team to me, other than J.D. Martinez has been added, and Mookie Betts is having a better year. Other than that, it's the same club offensively. Martinez has made a huge difference. I haven't really seen any appreciable change as a result of the hitting coach. Not really.
All right, folks. Is that a fair assessment by Maz? Justin on the pike. Thanks for hanging on. If you're still there, Justin, what do you got?
Hi. So I was reading an article on ESPN today saying how the Mets might make DeGrom and Syndergaard available come the trade deadline. And I was just wondering if you guys think it'd be worth it for us to like try to get one of them.
No.
Because that could help us over the Yankees.
No. I'm firmly, your die is cast with your starting pitching staff. You've got to hope these guys perform in the postseason like they can in the regular season, and that's it. Like, that's where I've been with this forever.
I'm a yes on either of those guys. They're studs, and they're not free agents for, like, 3 or 4 more years each. But you don't have enough assets to give up.
I was going to say, you have nothing to give them. Yeah.
You just beat me to it. I was just going to say, it doesn't matter. You can't get them. You don't have enough. You don't have enough to get them. How are you going to get them? What are you going to trade away? They have nothing to trade. They're naked down there. They've been completely exposed.
Like to get one of those guys, you'd have to give up like Bogarts and Devers. And
you have 3 Cy Young guys at the top of your rotation. They just have to pitch like it in October. That's that.
Bogarts doesn't even do it for you, Murray. The one guy you have in your big league roster that could get you that kind of pitcher, maybe, is Devers or Benintendi.
Not Betts?
Well, I mean, given,
but
yeah, like I'm talking about a... I mean, you're not giving up...
A prospect type is what you're saying.
Yeah, and even Benintendi, like, you're not giving up him either. It's Devers. I think that's it.
And I'm sorry, what's he hitting again?
231.
And you don't believe that Rick Porcello's a real Cy Young Award winner. He is, technically, but come on.
No, did I get this wrong? I thought he... Didn't he win it 2 years ago?
Yeah, no, I know. Technically, he is. But do you really trust Rick Porcello?
Well, no, but by saying technically, you're acting like there's some sort of technicality. No, no, he won the Cy Young Award.
That was a fluke.
He was a Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
He's also your third starter. You have enough starting pitching. It's up to those guys. It's not up to the team to improve those guys. It's up to those guys to strap it on when it matters. It's up to those guys.
Factually, he's correct, Murray.
It's not as... Murray's acting like some sort of technicality. No, no, no. He won the Cy Young. Ernie and Rivera. Go ahead, Ernie.
Yeah, well, it's finally catching up with him. Anyone from the 7th spot on, that's 200. All year long. So, you know, it caught up with him, and Moreland came back to earth, and that's what's happened. I mean, can they still pick up Hanley without having... The reason why they really got rid of Hanley, because they don't want to pay that stupid option next year. Because they would have got another year, they would have had to pay him $20 million.
That's definitely true, Ernie, but I think... I just wonder if there's something else on top of it, because why hasn't anyone else picked him up?
Couldn't they pick him up again?
So
and not have to worry about the option?
So tell you what, it's interesting. I think they could do that.
And let me ask you, if someone else picks him up and he gets his plate appearances, are they on the hook?
No. No, no, no. That contract is now dead.
The contract's dead.
The contract's dead.
What if he goes somewhere else, gets the plate appearances? Are you on the hook for the next year?
No. Nope.
The contract dies?
The contract's dead. The contract's over. They released him out of the contract. Any deal would be a new deal now. Which may preclude him. Like, that's an excellent question.
Because they still have to pay him his salary this year.
Right, but it's on a minimum salary because the Red Sox are paying him for the rest of the year.
What I'm saying, well... Maybe this is for another day. Is that option still alive if he hits his plate appearances for another team?
No.
You're sure?
Positive.
Okay. Because that would be a disincentive for someone to pick him up.
Correct.
I mean that might be answering my question I've been asking all day, is how come no one has any interest in Hanley?
No.
If they'd be on the hook if he hit those plate appearances, no. That would be a disincentive.
Any new team he goes to, he signs a new contract. And that would be a minimum deal because...
What happened with Hanley? There's a story there. What really happened? And again, I said this before, the Globe can't do the story. So normally I'd say, Shaughnessy, go stick your nose in there. Or Holler, go stick your nose in there. Except the Globe, who are the Red Sox, should be and are sensitive to that whole thing about throwing dirt on someone on the way out the door, the Larry Lucchino smear campaign. If they come out with a story that said Hanley was doing X, Y, and Z, and this is why teams don't want him, that is throwing dirt on the guy on the way out the door. They've done it before. They don't want to do it again. I would like to thank, and so they can't do it. Which, again, as you said earlier, sounds like a job for the Boston Herald. Not afraid of any dirt.
I can think of a couple of websites, too.
But there's a story there. There's got to be a story. How come no one has called on Hanley Ramirez? There's got to be a reason. Back with more right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Handicap LeBron to the Celtics. Any shot?
1%. And that's only if, in a phone call with the Celtics, LeBron's people say wants a four-year deal. If LeBron continues to be a one-plus-one type of guy, why would you break up your roster for him? I understand he's the greatest player in the world. But if he's only going to commit to you for 1 year, why do you change a team that is already on a championship path?
If he commits to four, you think the Celtics would consider it?
I think they'd consider it if he said, I'm a four-year guy, maybe the fifth year on a sign and trade. Why wouldn't you? If you can get him for four years, you absolutely have to consider it.
This is Chris Mannix, Yahoo Sports. See him on NBC Sports Boston as well. On with us earlier on LeBron. I think that crystallizes it for me. How do we know LeBron is subjugating himself? The contract, and not the money. The money's the money. How many years? How many years does he commit?
He'll never do it.
If he's 1-1, he has you over the barrel still. Has you over the barrel like he had Miami, like he had certainly Cleveland. You're at his behest. Do what he wants or else he bolts. If it's 4 years, you have the leverage. I like it. Makes it simple for me. I need it simplified. Stephen Halifax, your thoughts. Go ahead, Steve.
So a couple of years ago, people were saying that they never even considered Golden State was a factor for Durant to leave in free agency. Now that LeBron has the same option this year, I don't see how he cannot choose the best option to get a championship like Durant did. So I say he's either going to the Celtics long term because he knows they're young, or he's going to go to Golden State with veteran minimum and just be a pansy there.
So the thing is about LeBron, Windhorst had said earlier in the offseason that LeBron wants a max deal. Which, again, what do you really want here, LeBron? I mean, all these other guys have been taking less. You took less when he first went to Miami. Didn't he take less?
Yes, he did. Yeah, I think they all did.
Right? So that's the way, that's the new normal. That's how these super teams happen now, especially with the cap creeping back down, is you got to take less. So what is this? I mean, if you want the 35 and it's only a 1-1, do you really want to win? Is that really, you know, like, again, you'll know on the contract.
Yeah, see, to me, LeBron puts business first. He does, and maybe that's why he's 3-6 in the finals. I don't know. But at this stage, I think he almost looks at it and says, once I have my three, I don't care if you say I'm the greatest player or not. I'm going to earn more than Jordan did.
So if it's just for business, where's the best spot for him?
Business?
Yeah.
L.A. or...
L.A.
Yeah, L.A.
The Lakers.
I mean, I was going to say like L.A. or New York, but he's not going to New York.
He becomes the next great Laker.
Yeah, L.A.
That's the best for his brand. The next great Laker working for Magic Johnson. In the latest in the line from West to Wilt to Kareem to Magic to Kobe, Shaq, LeBron.
See, I feel like LeBron just checks things off his list. So he needed a title. What did he do? He went to Miami. And that whole decision thing and everything really hurt his reputation. The people in Cleveland were upset at him. He turned on his hometown. So what did he do? He went back to Cleveland. He got them a title. He rehabilitated the whole thing. And now he puts it on the owner. Now it's on Gilbert. Now what does he do? He leaves, he'll go to L.A., and he'll maximize his earning potential there. I don't think the winning comes first for him.
All right, so if it doesn't, and it's just about business, then the Lakers are the spot. If it's just about basketball, where is it?
Here.
Boston.
Here.
Or Golden State.
And the best chance to win championships. Okay? Here or Golden State, right. But here. Here. Commit yourself to be a Celtic and get with their program, sign for the 4 years, and you should win a couple rings. And you'll be the next great Celtic, not the next great Laker. And that's not as sexy. It's not. But basketball reasons, it's here.
So look, maybe I'm stretching here a little bit because ultimately the money's going to be the money. But I've said to you, if you're a player negotiating with another team, you need, you know, you got to have options to be able to get what you want in the negotiation, right? Even if it's just little things, length of contract, things like that. So maybe this is why he was pumping up Boston, or it seemed like it. In the finals, because he really wants to go to the Lakers.
He's leveraging the Lakers.
And what better way to get the Lakers to sort of say, okay, we'll give you everything you want, than to say, well, if it's not you, I'm going to the Celtics. I like what they're building there.
That's a good conspiracy theory. Here's Matt in Worcester on LeBron. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, just a quick question on LeBron. First of all, number one, I really don't think we need him because we'll have 476 forwards. But in the long term, what do you think it would take Cleveland to sign Kawhi Leonard and keep LeBron in Cleveland? I think at the minimum, they're going to have to give up Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, and the Celtics' number one pick.
How does that get
you guys' opinion on that?
Not enough.
I was going to say, who cares? Give all that up in a second.
You give up your entire team. I don't think that's enough. I don't think they have what it takes to get Kawhi Leonard.
No, I don't think they can. They don't have the, you know, again, he's talking, you know, trade or whatever.
That's the eighth pick? The eighth pick in Kevin Love?
Not enough. Kevin Love sucks.
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm sorry, but certainly not Jordan Clarkson.
No, please. Clarkson, Nance. They could give up their whole roster and not have enough for Kawhi.
This is what I'm saying. They have nobody. Were you watching? Collection of bums.
They're screwed. The Cavs are screwed.
Here's Rob in the recliner on the Red Sox. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What do you got, Rob?
No, if I'm not mistaken, if... sorry, let me go right to Stephen Wright, actually. I didn't hear what Maz, if you said anything about him earlier. I consider him one of the most valuable trade chips on the Sox. He's only worth $1 million this year, about $500,000 prorated. And I personally don't think he can...
Huh.
I wouldn't mind trading him for anything. But, I mean, you look at what he puts up when he's in there. There's some teams that might bite on that.
Does Stephen Wright have trade value?
Interesting idea. I hadn't thought of it.
Me neither.
It's a good one. Yeah, I mean, I think Wright's got some value. He had a great year a couple years ago, as we all know. Hell, he went to the All-Star game, for crying out loud. And so it's been a lot of mishaps since. You can thank John Farrell for that. Pinch running him in the game in L.A., I think it was. And so, sure, yeah, Wright's cheap. He's a big league pitcher. He can give you a lot of innings. And when he's rolling, I mean, I think knuckleballers have value. So can you pitch him in October? No. I don't think. But they can be very useful guys during the regular season.
Craig in Plymouth on the Sox. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
Hey. Well, I was listening to your conversation about the hitting coaches. So tell me. What do you think about bringing Big Poppy in?
That one's a no-brainer. My one before I thought was questionable. That one was not questionable.
Oh, no, that's unanimous on the Supreme Court. Yeah, that's 9-0.
9-0.
Yeah.
David Ortiz is a hitting coach. Why do we do that?
No.
You know, why isn't Veritek the manager?
Am I stupid?
They're both special assistants to the team, so they're around the team. They just don't have these titles.
But am I stupid to say, I don't think Ortiz had that great of a swing. I mean, a great hitter. I don't know how he did it. But it's not like I looked at him and said, that was a... Well, when I said, how did he do it, Maz smirks at me.
Well,
no, I know, I get it, I got it, I do know how he did it. I do know how he did it. But it's not like, I mean, I don't know, what I mean is, I don't know if I'd want David Ortiz teaching that, so I'd want Manny to come back and teach his swing.
Remember the Cubs hired him to coach in the minors? At one point they did, I don't know if he's still doing it or not.
But that thing was textbook. Ortiz is just, I mean, whatever. That's not, who is their hitting coach? What's his name?
Tim Hires. He was the assistant with the Dodgers, and he came over. And the Dodgers hit a million home runs last year. They were sort of the poster children for the launch angle thing, along with the Astros. But those teams last year that were in the final stages of the playoffs were hitting the ball miles out of the ballpark. And so I just look at it now and say, in spring training, John Henry told us about how they made major changes. They brought in a new manager. They brought in a whole new staff. The idea was to get more out of the players that they had. And at the beginning of the year, it looked like it was working. Now, other than Betts and Martinez, they're two most talented hitters. And JD hit before he got here. And in the case of a Betts, he was fabulous 2 years ago. And last year, he slid back a little. Who's really all of a sudden changed? None of them. Like, I don't think it's wrong to look at the staff again and say, you were supposed to have this dramatic impact. Where is it now?
Is it the staff or is it the roster? And then they're just not that special.
Legit question. Maybe it's not the coaches. Maybe it's the players.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985 right after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run. And Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time.
So Alex Cora being the impetus for them moving on from Hanley Ramirez, which I don't know if that's true or not. But assuming it is, I'll give points to Alex Cora for that. It'd be my favorite thing he's done. If Alex Cora was a real factor in them moving on from Hanley Ramirez, then that's the best move. That's the best thing Cora's done all season. Lopping off an issue before it becomes an issue. And I just, in past regimes, past managers, where they just let that fester and let it just, hang like a cloud over the locker room, if that were still John Farrell, would he have the independence or the whatever the word is I'm looking for to go to management and say, guys, you should ditch this guy, he's trouble? Or would Farrell just, bury it and let it be a bad thing hanging over the team?
Do you think that's what it really was?
No. I think that Hanley had... I think that they, first and foremost, didn't want to pick up that option next year. They didn't want that salary on the books next year, and I don't blame them. So, they would be looking for any excuse. And my sense is, Hanley gave it to him. That there's something with Hanley that is precluding 29 other teams from giving him a job, too. Even though now he's free. He's basically free to whoever wants to pick him up. No one is. Why? Maybe it's the same reason the Red Sox had to let him go. And I don't know what that reason is. I don't know. There's crazy rumors floating around out there. I don't know what to believe or not to believe. All I know is no one's picking him up. And no one's even linked to him. There's not even a story. Not even a workout. Not even a visit. Not even anything. For a guy who's a .380 lifetime postseason hitter and is free. So there's got to be an answer. There's got to be a reason. And maybe the reason is the reason the Red Sox got rid of him. So that's what that is. But... if they didn't do it to get Mitch Moreland more playing time or Blake Swihart more playing time, and if they did, well, that's blown up in their face, because what are those guys hitting since Hanley Ramirez left?
Oh, God. I mean, again, I give you the Moreland numbers overall. The last 25 games, Moreland's hitting .253. So, and who were the other ones you mentioned?
Swihart. Yeah. I mean,
.156.
So that's
for the year.
That's what Dombrowski said Cora's rationale was. We want to get Moreland in there more, and I can now play Swihart more. Well, one guy's hitting .250, the other guy's hitting .150.
Yeah, that was all spin. I mean, they didn't, they let Hanley go first and foremost because of the option. They didn't want that contract there, the risk of that contract there, and so they cut bait with him and they moved on. I just don't see how they're a better team as a result of it, because they're not. And now, look, again, if there's something off the field, well, that's different. That's different. I mean, we'll see. Like,
don't you think there has to be at this point no one else to touch him?
You would think so.
I mean, to me, that's the tell. The Red Sox dumping him is not the tell, because they want it out of the contract. I agree. The fact that no one, that to me is telling me something.
Well, see, and if it was something that required a suspension of some sort, and there's all kinds of stuff now, right? Aside from the PEDs, the domestic incidents, Stephen Wright just served time.
Right.
So let's say it was a domestic incident and Aroldis Chapman missed, 30 days or something with the Yankees. If Hanley misses 30 days, well, that's 30 days worth of plate appearances. Now all of a sudden you don't have to worry about the contract option. And I don't know if 30 days would do it or not, but it would do pretty significant damage.
No, I know what you're saying.
That'd be a reason to keep him.
If he was facing suspension for anything, it'd be a reason for the Red Sox to keep him, because they'd have no risk for next year's option.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't think it's anything like that. Then now you're talking about things that fall out of the jurisdiction of the CBA. So things that are, transgressions in the real world. And if it's that, well, then fine. No problem. I just need to see that before I believe it.
Here's Pete in Milton on Hanley. Go ahead, Pete.
Michael, Embry is no longer on this team. It's Heath Hembry, as in
Hembry.
Hemorrhoid.
I thought I said that.
Which, as in hemorrhoid, which the bottom half of this lineup, that's what they've given me as I sit upright in bed watching them strike out over and over again each night. But on Hanley, Michael, I feel like in a prior life he bullied you in junior high or stuffed you in a locker or gave you a swirly or something. If he is in fact a dog, which he hasn't been in over a season and a half, but even if he is a dog, where do you draw the line as far as it being worth having him? Because if you guys harp on the second half of this lineup, it's absolutely brutal. Watching these guys strike out over and over again, it's almost a battle just watching them get through the second half of the order. I don't want to understand. At one point or another, you have to take Hanley for what he is.
Well, Hanley's... But I don't, though. He's just the kind of guy that I dislike, Pete. I don't know if you know how my feelings about Randy Moss, but I put those guys in the same category, where they're just so talented, supremely talented.
I mean, is it true that Hanley hasn't been a dog for a year and a half?
I mean, but even if that is true, it's like, oh... You mean you've gotten a whole year and a half where he's been a functional normal human being? Oh, great. Well, let's throw him a parade. Oh, you've gotten a whole 18 months out of him? Oh, never mind. He's great. Yeah, blood and guts. I think that's pathetic for you to say he hasn't been a dog for a full 18 months.
I'm not even sure it's true. Like, again, to me, Hanley's all about the batter's box.
He was a dog the entire time here, except for the 1 year that Ortiz got him to play.
I mean, what did he hit, like 200 in the month of May before they released him? Like, to me, Hanley's focus in the batter's box is hard to detect sometimes because anybody can go cold at the plate. But that's where it would show up, is he just not paying attention in the batter's box.
I just, all the talent in the world, but where's his head? Where's his heart? Where's his compete? Can I count on him? Does he really care? Like, all those, I ask all those things about him as I would ask about Randy Moss. I hate that kind of guy. So, and there's a lot of them. It's not just, but he sort of fits that mold. Chris in Vermont. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I wanted to touch on what Matt said earlier about the hitting coach, and then there was a little blurb in last night's game about the J.D. Martinez method and how, like, five guys are now following his method, one of which is including Mookie Betts. So I wanted to pick your brain on, you think that's actually a legitimate thing? And are there guys that are following J.D. as opposed to the hitting coach, and is that causing issues? And just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, so look, I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought this up. So I don't know if he's stepping on the hitting coach's feet or not, or his toes. It's an interesting question.
I thought they all had the same approach. I thought Martinez was a big launch angle guy, swing early in the count guy. And
well, he is.
His methods are now the team's methods.
So, but he's also a huge like video analysis. Like he overthinks. He analyzes everything, right? So he's got these guys now. This is leading me to a different topic. You're going to have to indulge me for a
minute. Go
ahead. I am getting so freaking sick of hearing about how hard J.D. Martinez works, how much he looks at the video, how much the mental side of hitting has led to him becoming the hitter he is. I am getting sick and tired of it. Please, there are a lot of guys who study hitting and who are students of hitting that can't hit the ball the way he does. A lot of what he does is a God-given gift. He can hit the bullpens at Fenway Park from the right side of the plate as well or better as most guys I've ever seen set foot in the right-handed batter's box in that ballpark. I don't care who you are. If you're not pulling a tractor or have the strength to pull a tractor like that guy does, you can't do what he does. I am up to here with the J.D. Martinez method and the video and the studying and the analysis. Oh, look at how he studies his swing. Oh, look at how he's got notes on the pitchers. I am so sick of that.
You think it's overrated?
Oh, my God, it's driving me bananas. I'm not telling you it's totally overrated.
Why can't he be a student of the game?
He can be. It's not the reason he can hit the ball in the bullpens. Lou Malone, he was a student of the game, too. Then he wasn't one-tenth the hitter that this guy is. All due respect, Lou, I love you to death.
Sorry, Lou.
But he's a student. Lou's a student. Can't do what this guy did. I know lots of guys who were students who sucked because they didn't have the ability. I'm getting so tired of it, it's not funny.
It seemed real pent up, Maz.
God, it's driving me bananas. It's driving me freaking bananas.
Shouldn't you yell at the beat reporters who keep writing the story?
Oh, over and over. What a student. J.D. Martinez, does he know what this guy's going to do? They all do. They all have the information now. It doesn't make him different. I'm not saying they're all hardworking, because Hanley's not. I have had it up to here with J.D. Martinez's method and his intellect. I am so tired of it. Enough. The guy's an ox. He can hit it into the bullpens and over. He's a freaking moose. That's why he's the... That is the number one reason he is what he is. His strength, his size, it's a gift.
Seems to me like you want to have the body rather than the brains, and you just wish that Giancarlo Stanton was here.
Manny Ramirez is a perfect example of that, Murray. Like, he was a student, too. Did we believe it with him?
Oh, God,
no. Absolutely not.
I played cards with a guy that used to be one of the clubhouse attendants when during the Manny Ramirez time. Said he used to wipe with hand towels, and he'd have to pull hand towels out of the crapper.
Oh, I believe that.
How's that germane to this conversation?
Yeah, it just came up. I was thinking about it. He ain't a brainiac is what I'm saying.
I would describe that as an eccentricity of great genius.
Mm.
That's what I would say, Mari.
So, this does, we can circle it all the way back to Hanley. I think they released him before he crapped in the clubhouse. I think there's parallels there.
So does J.D. Martinez do that, Murray?
Junior in Brockton on LeBron. Go ahead, Junior.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about LeBron, about the Celtics, that we have. Basically, Celtics have a lot of options. And that basically LeBron doesn't really have much say. So basically, Celtics, we have one or the best coach in NBA. Right? And then we have the best GM, Danny Ainge. So basically, when we come to the table with LeBron, you know, he will have to, like, you know, basically take a pay cut or, you know, understand that he's in the best option.
Junior, let me sum it up for you. He'll have to fit into what you're doing. You don't have to fit into what he's doing. And this runs totally counter to how he has handled himself since he got out of Cleveland the first time. Okay? He's been able to shop himself and do the decision one, the decision two, the decision three, and he's been able to dictate what his landing spot does, who they sign, what's around him, his contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If it's here, it'd have to be flipped. He'd have to accept your parameters and your contract, and if he's willing to do that, then he should be here. Then he should be here.
He'll never be willing to do that.
If he wants the one plus the one, and he wants to hold you hostage, then forget about it. I don't want him either. But if he's willing to accept and fit into what you're doing, and that starts with the contract and the term of the contract, then he should be here, man. That's it.
I just can't envision a scenario in which he signs a contract that gives his new team leverage. Just can't see it. Can't see it.
We've got Matt in Gardner. Go ahead, Matt, on LeBron. Matthew! Okay, baby, you can call us back. How about the real Matt? Yes, Matt.
Well, I was just going to say, the subject line I found interesting.
LeBron to the Pelicans. Discuss.
Murray, how do you feel about that? LeBron with Anthony Davis.
That'd be great from a basketball standpoint, but he's never going to go there.
I doubt it too, but tell me you wouldn't like to see that tandem together.
Be fun. Be a fun watch on the NBA package. What would they win in the postseason?
Well, they wouldn't beat Golden State. They might be the second-best team in the conference, though. I mean, I don't know. LeBron and Anthony Davis?
LeBron is too big for New Orleans.
True.
New Orleans is my favorite city in the country. I love that place. But it just ain't, like, if he's...
No, I hear you on that.
Well, I mean, you have a chance to be the next great Laker to follow in the shadow of Jerry West and Kareem and Wilt and Kobe, or you go to the Pelicans? No, he's going to go to the Lakers. I'm sorry.
I mean, in terms of basketball options, isn't Anthony Davis one of the best young talents in the game?
So he gets to play with Rondo still there, right?
Rondo,
right.
Drew Holiday.
Rondo, Anthony Davis, and LeBron?
I don't know. The Pelicans came on late. I mean, you know, they were good in the postseason. Like, the idea of LeBron, he's not going there.
Rondo fits with that, right? He just distributes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Just handles the ball and gets it to those two guys.
No, but they would be the second best team in the conference. But in terms of, you know, living there and everything else that it offers, like, his production company's in L.A. too. It's one of the reasons he's going there. The family has a house there. He's going to L.A.
Not big enough for him.
Oh, you mean it's a bad school system in Louisiana? Oh, I didn't know that.
The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, a couple of pieces of sound here today. We'll start with the call of the day. Rich in Southie, who had a question about hashtag one big bag. Here we go.
Rich in Southie. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, Felger and Maz, how have you guys not looked into Hanley and... the TV 12 method that he was doing at the beginning of the year?
Because I don't think that gets
one
you...
One other thing for Catboy, the one big bag. Do you put a week's worth of cat crap in that bag? Hashtag one big D-bag.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a whole week's worth of cat crap in there, too, and pee.
That's a horrible bag. What a disgusting bag you have in your kitchen.
Why does it have to be that big?
I like that the caller said one big D-bag. That's a better way.
There's been a lot of that on social media as well. One big D-bag.
Seriously, yeah. What are the environmental requirements of kitty litter? Honestly, what do they want you to do with it?
I don't know. You just put it in the...
I'm asking the wrong guy.
Of course you are.
You haven't heard like...
See, you go to the shopping when you buy... No.
I know what you do. You don't care about your planet. But what, like, ideally...
What's the environmentally correct way to handle kitty litter?
Yes, if you're a good person, what do you do with your kitty litter?
I'm going to Google it.
If you're a good person who cares about their fellow person and doesn't want, I don't know, your kids swimming in a bunch of cat crap, what do you do with kitty litter?
You take the bags that they give you at the supermarket and you put the clumped up kitty litter into that, and then you put it in your bigger trash bag. That's how you handle it.
Proper way to dispose...
That's what it's going to tell you. There's no other way to handle it.
Of... kitty litter.
Go ahead, give us the next item while Matt's.
Can I just make a note of that caller and how impressive he was holding his phone like a pizza and ignoring you trying to engage and just powered right through?
It was perfect, actually.
Let that be a lead to all the rest of the callers.
This is labeled Maz on Lover's Day, so I imagine this has to do with the Tom Brady Instagram post celebrating Brazilian Valentine's Day today.
If your best receiver's not going to be able to participate because he just got popped for drugs and the quarterback is just going through the motions and not showing up, then what? Why are you pointing a finger at me, Maz?
Yes. Dia dos Namorados. Lover's Day is celebrated on June 12th in Brazil.
Oh,
due to the date's proximity to St. Anthony's Day on June 13th, the rest of you don't need to know. When I saw it, I thought it was a picture from February. I'm like, they're putting that up and celebrating it today? Wow. Talk about giving Belichick the finger. Not only are they celebrating Valentine's Day, they're doing it 4 months late. Like, what else are they? What are they having, Christmas tomorrow? That's what I thought.
I told you every day we celebrate love. Put on the shirt, Tom. All right.
Meanwhile, Bill's like, screw this. I'm out. I'm out.
So it is. It's Brazilian Valentine's Day.
Sit around this week and watch Etling try and complete a swing pass out of the middle. No, thank you. I'm going to Nantucket. Seriously, yeah, just banging the whole week. Never mind, no days off. And Murray's perfect now. Now you just put a comma in there. A comma in there, and it said, this is the new Patriots. No, comma. Days off.
Right next to no recycling.
Next to no more championships.
I did get to the bottom of the cat litter issue. It says use double lined bags or at least two bags. And then throw the double bagged litter into a trash container with a lid.
This is what I do. What an apps. No, you don't double bag. That would be.
No, I use one bag. See, I'm helping the environment.
No, they say two. You know why? Because it's toxic crap and they don't want whatever's in there seeping into landfills and into our water supply. They don't want your cat crap. Those cats.
Are we going to go on an anti-cat rant now? Is this what this is?
Oh, I have it in me. You know I do.
I know you do.
You know I do. Keep the music going, Jimmy. So
play the longer bit.
Yeah, please. Just keep it going so I don't... save me from myself. Cats, people. Cats. And, oh, by the way, not only do those animals suck, but they're also horrible for the environment, I learned today. So, good. That's great. Let's save the cats, but trash everything else.
Cats
great.
Are bad for the environment?
Tremendous. Well, if you've got to double bag their crap, what does that tell you?
All right. Well, I think you can get away with one bag.
They just told you to double bag it, because they don't need that stuff seeping into the water supply.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.